This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, dedicated to increasing knowledge and engagement in the world's most critical issues. On April 24th, the Council is hosting a conversation with New York Times White House and National Security Correspondent David Sanger to discuss his latest book, New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. Registration for this event is available at globalaffairs.org/events.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and you're listening to Reset from WBEZ Chicago. Complications in pregnancy and birth have risen in the U.S. during the pandemic. One study surveyed 1.6 million pregnant patients across more than 400 hospitals and found that pregnancy and birth outcomes are worse now than they were before the pandemic. Dr. Jose Figueroa is a senior author of that study. He's also a physician at the Brigham and Women's Hospital and an assistant professor at the Harvard School of Public Health. Eleni Sigas is the CEO of the Preeclampsia Foundation. They both join me now. Celebrities like Beyoncé, Kim Kardashian, and Mariah Carey have all been vocal about this condition. But for those who don't know, what is preeclampsia?
I think the simplest way to think about it is that it's a disorder of the placenta, which is the organ that forms during pregnancy and connects the mom and the baby. And that's how the baby's getting its nutrition. So when the placenta doesn't operate or function correctly, it has a negative effect on the mom, primarily by driving her blood pressure up, and other organs are also affected, and sometimes can have an effect on the baby by restricting its growth or in some way hampering its ability to grow effectively.
And who normally gets preeclampsia?
Anybody can get preeclampsia. One of the things that we do a lot of education around at the Preeclampsia Foundation is that there are risk factors that can make you at higher risk for it. Things like being an older mom or having a high BMI or having a previous history of hypertension or preeclampsia. There's a whole list of things that can put you at higher risk. But at the end of the day, anybody can get it, even somebody with no risk factors.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Figueroa, the study in particular, you looked at preeclampsia. What other conditions did you study?
Yes. Yeah, so as noted by you, during the first 14 months of the pandemic, we saw a greater risk of multiple complications, including gestational hypertension, including preeclampsia, and also including bleeding, a postpartum hemorrhage as well. And unfortunately, the other thing that we saw was that the risk of maternal death increased from about 5.2 per 100,000 people to 8.7. So that's about a 68% increase in maternal death in the pandemic.
Wow. Any surprises there to you?
I think I was very surprised by these findings. You would think that in a country like the United States, we spend a lot of money in our healthcare system. It's actually more expensive to deliver a baby in the United States than it was for a princess in England to deliver a baby. And even with the amount of money that we spend, we're having these rates. So it's highly concerning, alarming rates across the board.
And help us understand.
I have to say, Sasha.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, Sasha, it was, I think the extent of it was surprising to me when I read the paper. But from our exposure to just thousands and thousands of women who actually delivered and were pregnant during the pandemic, it didn't entirely surprise me that there was an effect, because there was such a hampering of prenatal care and people not getting in to see their physicians, mm-hmm. and also a lot of misdiagnosis. You know, everybody was so focused on COVID that when a woman would present with some concerning symptoms, everybody immediately went to COVID and then often delayed or missed diagnosis of preeclampsia or HELLP syndrome, which might have added to some of this.
Yeah. Well, how much of a factor, Dr. Figueroa, is COVID as an illness here? Help us understand.
Yeah, so in our study during the pandemic period, there was over 800,000 pregnant people. Only about 300 of them had COVID. So this is, as mentioned, This is truly, we believe, a major disruption of prenatal care. Across the country, we saw OB clinics close. We saw people weren't getting examined when they needed to be examined. Virtual care popped up in the country as fast as it could, but it is very hard to do a physical exam in virtual care. It's very hard to check blood pressures during a virtual visit. And there's fewer ultrasounds across the country to monitor how babies were doing. So, mm-hmm. Major disruptions in prenatal care, likely the lead cause behind all of this. The other thing to note is that there was significant stress during the pandemic for everyone. We saw increases in financial strain, job mm-hmm. losses across the country. Pregnant people were really worried about getting COVID because of the known complications if you do get COVID with what could happen,
right.
Social isolation, and then obviously increased burden related to child care, schools being closed. So that all played into this, fortunately.
Let's pick up where you left off, Eleni, and talk more about why preeclampsia is on the rise. And maybe you can talk about what the physicians that you work with are seeing anecdotally and how it compares to the data.
Well, sure. Well, what's interesting is that this study sort of marries well with another study that looked at trends in preeclampsia over a couple of decades, three decades, really. And so what we've been seeing is a rise in preeclampsia over the last three decades, probably due to a constellation of factors. The profile of the average mother getting pregnant has changed over time. Her health has changed going into the pregnancy over time. I think all of those are probably some of the contributors to the rise in preeclampsia. That's sort of leading us into then this COVID pandemic where, as Dr. Figura said, there really was an impact on prenatal care and access to women. One of the things that we introduced during this period was what we called the Cuff Kit program to try to get blood pressure cuffs into mom's hands at home because their prenatal care visits were often happening virtually and they needed uh-huh. a way to monitor their own blood pressure at home. And the stress that was mentioned is not incidental. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people who really felt that stress. And then when they were going into their delivery, sort of the end of their pregnancies and into their delivery, the ability to have support people with them, a partner or a doula or somebody,
yes.
was severely limited. And I think all of that just contributes to a less than optimal healthcare system.
Which is so important. I mean, I've had two children, and I can't imagine having to have done it alone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Dr. Figueroa, did the study find any racial disparities in who was experiencing complications during pregnancy and birth?
Yes. So across most pregnancy-related complications, Black birthing parents are at much higher risk, including gestational hypertension, including preeclampsia, including bleeding disorders. But the gap that we saw before the pandemic remained and was stable during the pandemic. And so, I guess it's not really reassuring that the gap still exists, but if at least they did not get worse. And so that's what we observed in our study. But still, important gaps remain that need to be resolved.
So the gap remained then. So it was still...
Yes. They're still at higher risk, but the risk did not get worse. So everybody across the board experienced increased risk of these complications.
And what's your professional observation as to why the disparities exist in most cases?
So I think if you look at the quality of care and also access to care, in general, Black birthing parents have more barriers that they have to overcome, and also there's concerns about the general quality of care that they receive in certain hospitals as well. And so there's a multiple, and then obviously the increased risk related to social determinants and of health, which we all know play an important role in influence on some of these outcomes. So there's a lot of factors at play here.
As we talk about racial disparities, Eleni, how does all of this square with other research that you've seen?
It's very consistent with some of what we've seen, and also consistent with where we can actually do something about some of these disparities. And I think one of the really interesting things about the paper is that the data was analyzed for hospital deliveries, which means it's really looking at how are hospitals doing with outcomes, with pregnancy deliveries. And what it contrasts with is some of the data coming out of the CDC, which also goes beyond the hospital delivery into that postpartum period, whether it be days, weeks, or even up to a year after delivery. And there's a place that, you know, we, number one, yes, continue to see the disparities, but there's also more innovation happening right now as we're expanding Medicaid coverage and as we're looking at how do we not just drop mom as soon as she has the baby and is gone. Like, what more can we be doing around postpartum clinics, around self-monitored blood pressure for the days and weeks beyond that? If she's had preeclampsia, she's at higher risk for heart disease or cardiovascular disease in general. And there are things that we need to be paying attention to within months or even up to a year after she's had that baby. And these are all places where the disparities exist, and there are things that we can do to try to increase that access to care even after she's had the baby.
How about death during pregnancy or birth? What are the inequities there? Eleni?
Meaning are we seeing disparities in moms dying, not just getting preeclampsia? Yeah, so we're seeing both. We're seeing that that Black mothers, Native Americans, are not only getting preeclampsia at higher rates, but they're having some of the worst outcomes. Now, the number of moms dying in absolute numbers is inexcusable because even one mom dying is too many. But
right.
I think they become almost the iceberg. You know, we talk about the iceberg principle and, like, you know, the part that's showing above the water is the moms dying. And that's unacceptable, but even more unacceptable is the huge amount of morbidity. So near misses, moms getting really sick, a lot of the other bad things happening short of death. And the numbers are huge.
Goodness.
And we are seeing disparities even in the morbidity area.
So what do we need to start curbing these numbers that we're seeing with preeclampsia, Eleni?
Well, I think it's a combination. I mean, I'd love to say that there's like one, you know, magic solution. If you just flip this switch or do this particular protocol differently, that it's all going to be better. And it really isn't. It's multiple systems working together to change the trajectory. There are things that need to happen at the hospital and provider level. There are systemic things that need to happen. At the patient level, which is really where we're operating, our main message is what I call the three deadly D's, which is delay, denial, and dismissal. And as moms, we need to be heard. And that is historically one of the areas that that women of color have traditionally talked about not feeling heard. We see that across the board, by the way, but if it's happening even more so to moms of color, that's a problem, and that's an area where we need to make some improvements. And the whole CDC Hear Her campaign, we participated in the development of that campaign because we, over and over, were hearing moms saying, I tried to explain what I was feeling, and I was being dismissed, or these symptoms were being brushed off. It wasn't being attended to. And so that listening piece, not dismissing mom, is one area that, from our perspective,
so important.
Yeah.
And but before I let you both go, Dr. Figueroa, I know you've got a personal connection to this research, right?
Yes. So actually, my wife was hospitalized January of 2021 in a hospital that is in this data set, and she actually had developed gestational hypertension. And then after our baby girl was born, she unfortunately developed postpartum hemorrhage and lost a lot of blood and had to go to the OR twice. There was a question of whether they would do a hysterectomy to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, everything went well. at the end of the day, and now she's pregnant with our second.
Oh,
but,
wonderful.
You know, it was a motivation for this paper. It's just, you know, were we, you know, if this happened to us, and I'm sure it happened, and we, you know, we delivered at one of the, you know, top hospitals for mm-hmm. OB, and if it happened to us, I'm sure it could happen to anyone else. And
very scary situation.
We're a much better place now, but
I'm so glad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dr. Jose Figueroa is an assistant professor at Harvard School of Public Health, and Eleni Segas is the CEO at the Preeclampsia Foundation. Thank you both. Now let's turn to an OBGYN for her perspective on the ground. Dr. Melissa Simon is the vice chair for research in Northwestern Medicine's Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. She also oversees the Center for Health Equity Transformation at the Institute for Public Health and Medicine. We just heard from two guests that pregnancy and birth outcomes have worsened in the United States during the pandemic. What have you and your colleagues seen?
I'm not surprised. I've been practicing obstetrics on the ground, on the front lines throughout the pandemic. And indeed, it has been quite morbid with respect to maternal death rates, maternal severe morbidities that have happened during the pandemic. We know with all of the research, including that of Dr. Figueroa, that COVID really did impact pregnancy in many ways, and with poor outcomes, both for the pregnant and birthing person and also for the neonate. So this is not surprising.
Yeah. How do you account for this rise in negative outcomes?
Well, again, we know that the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 does bind preferentially on blood vessels, can cause inflammation, and especially around the placenta. And when the placenta is such an essential organ for pregnancy, for a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby and mother, that, you know, it's not surprising the findings that we have seen in many published research literature around the impact of COVID and the coronavirus on the placenta, which has impacted poorer outcomes.
And we should mention there's a relationship between access to abortion care and pregnancy outcomes, right?
For sure, 150%. So what is worrying is, especially during the pandemic, but even now with all of the rulings that have recently come out, having even differential access to abortion care puts pregnant and birthing persons at higher risk for severe morbidity and mortality due to pregnancy. Pregnancy is not a benign state. It is wonderful, and for the most part, thank goodness, pregnancy outcomes are wonderful. But for some people, it is dangerous to be pregnant. And having the option to have access to abortion care is really essential, especially for some people who get pregnant.
Yeah. And so with post-Roe abortion bans already in place, doctor, around the country, do you anticipate pregnancy and birth outcomes getting worse instead of better?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sasha. Maternal mortality is going to go up. Severe maternal morbidity is going to rise as well. Look, last week, I unfortunately was involved in a case where there was a massive amniotic fluid embolism to the mother, and the mother passed away, unfortunately, despite all of our best efforts. And there was several teams, and she was put on ECMO immediately in the operating room. But after 5 days, she just couldn't survive any longer, despite all of the efforts. And so these conditions are going to increase as we move forward in a post-Roe state, a post-Roe country. But in particular, I am super worried about health equity issues. So the disparities already exist between Black, Latino, and Native peoples or Indigenous populations, American Indians, compared to white non-Hispanic people in this country with respect to maternal mortality and severe maternal morbidity. And these numbers are going to rise. Abortion care is already, and access to care in general is already differential between these groups. And having these post-Roe rulings, in addition to the rising maternal mortality and severe maternal morbidity, it's really scary time, actually. And I just hope that as we move forward, we can do better with respect to caring for all of our pregnant and birthing individuals.
This is such disheartening information to hear. I can't imagine your world, as you talked about that patient that recently died. What's it like for you, Dr. Simon?
It's rough, but thankfully, I would say I'm very privileged. I work in a wonderful, resourced healthcare center, academic health institution at Northwestern. I work in a state of Illinois that is a haven state. Mm-hmm. So we do not have strict abortion laws. And although we are surrounded by states that are that have very strict abortion bans, and I just am very privileged in that sense.
As you mentioned, preeclampsia and in these other conditions, they're very scary. So leave us with this. What warning signs should pregnant people watch for?
For what kind of conditions? Any like preeclampsia conditions?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to understand that if you have high blood pressure already, before 20 weeks of gestation, so what we would call chronic high blood pressure or chronic hypertension, that's already, you should already have a heightened sense that you need to be monitored closely and get into prenatal care right away, because some people don't enter prenatal care until much later in the pregnancy. And that always worries me, because they may have undiagnosed high blood pressure, diabetes, or some other condition that could actually impact the pregnancy and the outcome and the baby. So it's important to understand that. Other warning signs, though, for high blood pressure is a headache, seeing spots or blurred vision. Sometimes we say right upper quadrant pain, so like right where your liver would be, pain right there, so under your right rib cage, things like that, swelling up a lot, so more than just a little bit of swollen feet and hands like is normal during pregnancy, but really swelling up, that's a warning sign. Understanding if you do have high blood pressure already, about one in four people with high blood pressure will develop preeclampsia approximately.
Yeah.
So those are all important things.
We'll have to leave it there. Dr. Melissa Simon is an OBGYN at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This episode of Reset was produced by Sarah Stark and mixed by Ethan Schwab. If you like this episode, subscribe to this podcast for more. We recently heard from one North Shore District school about the $2 million they're investing in safety measures and mental health support as kids go back to school.
We have, in fact, behavioral threat assessments, and we're increasing the number of social workers and psychologists this year to handle what we're anticipating as a higher load.
Take a listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.